Welcome to Baseball Biz on Deck. I'm Mark Carpenter, your host, and with me today, I have Tamara Holmes. And man, I tell you what, I thought I knew what women's baseball was about until I met this lady, and she woke me up. So I got to say, I had a great opportunity to see Tamara and several other young women in Sarasota this past November at the American Women's Baseball Professional Classic. I think I got that right. But Tamara, welcome. How you doing?
I'm good, Mark.
Oh, you know what? I mean, I look at you and I think, geez, there's a woman who lives a life with purpose. She's a baseball player. She played volleyball. She's a weightlifter. She's a businesswoman who has her own training. And I had two other, did I say firefighter? Oh, and a parent. And you're married to boot. My gosh, anybody want to fill a day? It sounds like you've got it.
It looks like you've done your homework, Mark.
Every now and then I try to. And one of the things I brought up family, it's interesting to me because part of that homework, you grew up mostly in Albany, California, am I correct?
That's correct.
And now you're in Oakland, which is just right down the road. Is that accurate as well?
Well, yeah. So I currently now work in Oakland and live in Sacramento, but okay. I did live in Berkeley, then Oakland for a long time. And then in 2015, I moved to Sacramento.
I mean, to me, it's great because I feel like a sense of roots in an area. You're part of a community and you've got so much going on. But when I look at you from a baseball perspective, the things that you've achieved, let me bring up some of my notes here. If I'm looking and I'm saying, well, let's see, everything from Little League and getting into that. I know the story I read in the, who was it? Jennifer Ring, who wrote, had a chapter on you in her book. And one of the things she was talking about was in Little League, and your father went and asked to make sure a young lady could play because that was a new idea for a lot of people. The thing was, thank goodness, there was no argument there. But as you grew older, there were impediments as far as having a young girl being able to play baseball.
Yeah, you know, I'm very fortunate to grow up in the Bay Area at the time that I did. And like you said, when I inquired in the 80s, about playing Little League baseball, there was no pushback. And you know, even to this day and up to that point, it was like a time where like easily that could have been a no. So I had a very fruitful Little League career, great coaches, you know, reached some grumbling as I got up in age in high school and ran into a few issues trying to play high school. My first high school, I got cut the first year and it was totally my fault. I just, you know, was for the first time in my life insecure about who and what I am and went out for the wrong position, plain as simple as that. The second year, came back, played the position I was supposed to, made the team, but we ended up moving to a different district because my sister was a track athlete and that school had cut their track program. So my sister and I ended up moving into Berkeley and going to Berkeley High so that she could finish up her track, and she ended up being a collegiate athlete for track. And so baseball then started taking a backseat because I was on the basketball team, volleyball team, and our basketball team won state. So it's like all these things. And then I tried to go out my senior year in baseball and the coach at that team cut me. And I thought the excuse he gave me made more sense than any of the other ones I heard where he's like, hey, you're a senior. I'd rather take a junior I could keep for 2 years. Fine. But then he did. I saw him, you know, later after I graduated and he apologized. He's like, hey, you know what? You were the better player. I should have taken you. And, you know, so I obviously missed out on that, but appreciated him kind of coming clean about that. But it didn't hurt my baseball career because fast forward a few years into college, I left college and then tried out for the Silver Bullets, Colorado Silver Bullets. So it was the all women's traveling baseball team. And left school for a number of years to go barnstorm and play with that team for two seasons.
You know, you mentioned that barnstorming. You know, I keep thinking back to the Negro Leagues when they were going everywhere. Right now, I'm putting something together on John Henry Pop Lloyd, who is this amazing shortstop. And I'm looking at it because he's from this area. I mean, went everywhere. And you think about the barnstorming because you would run up against all these other teams. And in the Negro Leagues at that point, they were actually playing against some other major leaguers, like down in Cuba or elsewhere. And there would be just all these different types of people that you would be playing against. Now, with the Bullets, this was an all women's team. You actually had the opportunity to play against some other men teams. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So they would, I would say the caliber of teams that we would find would be anywhere from like single A level to double A. We did get a chance to play against Taiwan's major league. That was pretty incredible. And oddly enough, within that, they had a few Americans on the team, but they wouldn't let the Americans pitch against us because they pitched in like the high 90s. So we faced like the high 80s to low 90s Taiwanese players. So we did have some good competition. And I want to say maybe at the youngest or lowest level was a boys like 18-year-old all-star team, at which, you know, we had our famed team brawl against too. So, yeah.
Well, you were a record breaker with them too. You did something that the Bullets hadn't seen before. And not only was it was a home run, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a home run, but it was an inside the park grand slam. That's a lot of running.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to hustle if that ball's still inside the park. That must have been
something. Yeah, and it was fortunate because their center fielder was playing too far in, right, obviously. And so dead center field is like 480, right? So you get a center fielder that's not playing deep enough. So it goes deep center field. Plus, once it gets that deep and you're running, you got to have, even for guys, in a double cut and a good cut. So everything kind of lined up.
I love that. I wish the team had continued on, because wasn't that the last year for the Silver Bullets?
That was the second to last year. So that was my inaugural year that I played. And then the following year after the end of that season, that was the last. So that was 96, I believe, 95, 96.
What do you think was the cause of that? Was there just a lack of, lack of interest or support? What was the?
More so support, right? I mean, in our eyes, with a sponsor like Coors, right? I think, our payroll out for that time probably had to be somewhere like around $2 million or so, maybe to a big corporation, that's a drop in the bucket. But obviously, again, it's their corporation to do what they want with their money. We heard various things of, well, we don't necessarily want to associate women's baseball with beer. And that was probably like them, the nice way of saying, but it's like, at the same time, we would go to these, what we call promotions. We'd go to a bar and like try to, talk to about our game and give out some tickets or things. So I don't think that was necessarily it, because you also had your beer girls there, right? So if you really didn't want to associate women or women athletes with it, I think it's just they wanted to do something else. And you run into the issue, I'm sure, business-wise, like how do I sell this? And if they aren't getting the word out, and, we'd have actually pretty good crowds, so I think you just need to be patient with the process of it. But it kind of fizzled out and no one else picked it up.
That's a daggone shame, because that's the thing. You see a good idea, you see something that gets legs and something good's happening with it. And then because it's dependent upon one or two people or one or two organizations, it can come to a halt. And that bothers me a great deal, because I'm looking also with women's baseball overall right now. What was it with the Pan Am games? There was women's baseball on that. Peru, and it got cut when it was going to happen in Peru, I think, and I can't remember the year.
It's because we went to the Pan Ams in 2015, which was an incredible experience, right? Like, that is, a smaller Olympic stage in which current future Olympians qualify for the actual Olympics. So how we got there was just an act of goodness, I think, because it was in Canada. Canada had pulled in, as you say, it's funny, I put this medal away, but like super proud of this, because a lot of times we played in our World Cups and the medals, God bless, they are like out of a gumball machine sometimes, but like the weight of this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this is incredible, right? This is like Olympic caliber right here.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful. And I need to, put it in a lockbox somewhere, but
it's beautiful. It is beautiful.
This
Thank you.
Is what, is capable, what we're capable of. So since then, yes, they even take softball out of the Olympics and baseball too. So it's just tough.
I don't know. I mean, to me, to try to reinvigorate enough interest to make those things stay in the Olympics, to continue on with Pan Am, I don't know what I have to do to be an advocate for this. Obviously, no one of us is going to be able to raise a flag and shout and scream and make everybody do this. And I find it very sad that that's kind of happened. But I look also at all the things that you achieved. I think it encourages the young women. Did you ever think of yourself that you'd be a role model for a lot of other young women?
No, not at all. And it's funny that you say that, because I one of the camps that I coached at for USA Baseball, I believe talking to one of the other women, and she's getting quite a bit of attention, you know, playing like college and doing all these great things. And so people always mention the role model thing. And when they interview you, you say the right thing. Oh, it's great. I just want to be a role model. But honestly, we're all out here just trying to play. Yeah. And the fact that we can be is great. We do love the fact that you have the young girls or the boys and then everybody that comes to you and is appreciative of what you do. For sure, you feel great in that moment. But to say that I really just, you know, love baseball and I'm out here playing for me, and those other things are icing on the cake, but they're not the driver for me. The driver for me is just like the love of playing and you know, wanting to hit home runs and do all these great fun things is what moves us.
I know at the Classic in Sarasota, I felt that. I mean, I felt that from you and all the other young women there. And I am so blessed to be able to participate as MC, going around asking folks a little bit about this. That, let me tell you what, talking with you was one of my favorite moments of the whole time I was there. And I come up and said, well, so tell me, so how's it going? I was very wide open general, and you picked up that mic and you took it from me, and you were a pro. And you got right into it with all the energy and verve that I could ever have hoped for. But you were looking across the table at some of the other young players and you're talking about the performance of the day. He says, I smoked you. And I thought the fun and the joy between you and all the other players out there, man, that was the moment that was about as precious for me as anything else that entire weekend.
You know, like it's funny because I'm actually a very shy and reserved person and was like that all my life, you know, but get on the field, right? Like I could be a little more outgoing, but I'm at this age, right? I'm almost 50, and there's just something liberating about, like, you just, or uninhibited. So it's like, yeah, you know, no, initially when someone asks, hey, we need you to speak or something, I'm still like, I'm not that funny. And, you know, I don't know what to say, but, you know, I was like, you know what? And that's what I said. I was like, hey, I'm out here with a partially torn ACL meniscus, and I'm sticking it to you. Definitely got a hit off of you. And like almost like a humble brag to say, like, if I can do these things at 50, yeah, you know, not having playing full time, imagine what these women and girls can do. Like, cause they're already incredible and they're young.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's add that to it. We're talking 20s and maybe 30s.
Right. So you have a whole nother 20 plus years to just best everything that I could have even thought about doing, which is great. I'm happy for them.
Oh, well, again, thank you for that moment. I enjoyed it. I know they did. The laughter and the applause and all with that. And Tamara, you are, whether you want to be it or not, you're a role model. So there you go. But, you know, that's, you do so much. Like I said, we're here to talk about baseball, but I'm looking at you, like I said, as a business person and having your own training business, being a firefighter, training other firefighters with fitness, weightlifter. Tell me a little bit more about your business and what's going on with the CrossFit.
Well, so, and the business has taken a little bit of a back burner, but I still have minority ownership in a CrossFit gym. I sold my actual location in 2020, and then I now go and work out. If I come into work at 6 a.m. at my other gym, and, you know, I laugh because the women's national manager, Veronica Alvarez, and she's a coach for the A's organization. It's like, we both have ADD. And so, like, these things that we do is like just juggling life and, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. And the three kids had slowed me down quite a bit, as much as you could slow anyone down. And so what had to go was my day-to-day ownership of the gym. And then that way I can still have, you know, partial ownership and just have a place to work out, love the community, still kind of keep a pulse on that community. But fortunately, I have, you know, a really good friend that was business partner too. And we talk about those things all the time, and they are doing great. And I just get to keep that in mind, because it's actually, those are the things that have made me a better firefighter and coach. I integrate all those things, right? So I can take my coaching background and become a better leader in the fire service. And same, I can take what I do in the fire service, and, you know, you're just not intimidated by things. Like, everything is paced and intensity and the ability to make these decisions. So it has very much helped make me a well-rounded person. But now I have to, like, factor in these things with young kids.
Yeah. And that's the thing, my gosh, because you said young kids, mine are all in their 30s now. So it's easy for me. I can talk to them as young adults, and, you know, they're living a good life. Wow.
It's a lot.
So I get that. My gosh. Something I can't remember if we said at the beginning of the show or not, but certainly the way I felt is you live life purposefully. You live it deliberately. You've got a plan in mind. Nobody could do all the things you're doing unless they actually have some sense of where they want to go. They have a personal discipline, I think, to get there. Am I putting too much on top of this? I am.
Yeah. and maybe I'm, you know, you obviously judge yourself the harshest, but I honestly feel I lack discipline, and I do all these things. I don't know that I ever had this great plan, right? And so I think my childhood forged who I was. I was fortunate enough, again, like I said, grew up in Albany, Bay Area, lived right next to a park. So we had epic football games. We had epic wiffle ball games. We played tennis. We had all these race BMX, skateboarding.
Oh, wow.
So we did all these things, right, that allowed me to build myself as an athlete without knowing it. And so I simply got good at things. And what may seem, you know, this natural talent was, I just have been doing these things since I was 8. Yeah. And so I think this life kind of finds me. And in doing so, when baseball was over, I had someone, you know, get into the fire service. Now, mind you, 10 years prior to that, I had another friend from college say, "Hey, you should get in the fire service. You'd love it." And I was like, "Absolutely not. Who runs into burning buildings? Like, that's not me." And then you fast forward 10 years where I had a friend get into the fire service who I thought was a very unlikely, you know, my idea of it was a firefighter was probably everybody's idea, big, tall, strapping, you know, big guy, or, you know, same, or an athletic woman, just wasn't me. Right. But when she got into it, it started turning my head. And then when I went to visit her one day after she got hired, and I got to go in the engine and put her gear on, and I was like, "Oh, this is the coolest thing ever." And so then, you know, you almost kick yourself, like, I could have been this 10 years ago, but it had to come at that point in my life, because 10 years prior, I was still, it was just the tail end of the bullets, really. And I was still in this idea that I would be, I had a brief stint, and there was an independent league, and I played for a team called Massachusetts Mad Dogs, now defunct team. And people don't know that. So it's like, I tried that. And, you know, didn't really have a good time. So quit that. And then I was like, "Oh, I'm going to go become a professional golfer." So I'm like, I'm an athlete, hit the ball 300 yards. And I didn't realize I also have the mindset of a 5-year-old, which is not very good for golf. So I was a hothead. And so I'm like, I'm hitting it 300 yards and I'm playing with the women's club. And they're just like, you know, 100 yards up the middle, 100, like, super consistent. And they're kicking my butt every way. And I'm like, why am I not beating them? But it's like, it's not a game of brawn, right? I have a John Daly swing, a 5-year-old mentality. So I would shoot anywhere from 70 to 105, yeah. Right? So yeah, I just, all that to say is I go where my mind takes me, but my mind and my body and my life have consistently kept me in sports, and then finding careers and in coaching that have allowed me to utilize those gifts.
Wow. Jeez, Tamara, I didn't expect all that. I love it, because I think it's realistic. And as you get older, you can look back in your life and you see chapters. I mean, there's chapters of my life where I worked with somebody who was the biggest pain in the you know what. And I thought, good Lord, this person's killing me. And then sooner or later, I'm a manager. I think, you know what? I learned how not to treat people. Yes. And that's that chapter was necessary for me to do this better now. And so I do get that formative part. And you're talking about being a coach. I know when I was reading, I think it was Jennifer Ring's story about you, one of the things that she mentioned was a neighbor, I believe, who coached you quite a bit. Was it David Crone?
Yeah. So he was my first, he was a neighbor, and he was my, I'd say my second Little League coach. Now, the funny story about that was when we tried out, there was like the group for our age, I think it was called like senior minors, and then there was the majors. There happened to be another Tamara, oddly enough, and another, she was shorter, but a Black woman who played, who tried out. She's pretty good too. So I think years later, Dave was like, oh, I thought I was drafting you. Cause I always thought like, hey, how come she got drafted up higher and I started in the senior minors, right? We were, if anything, equal and play, but I was like, it is what it is. But then that was great for me. I learned how to pitch. I got to play a ton. And then I eventually ended up that next year playing for Dave Crone on that team. And I think Tamara maybe didn't enjoy baseball as much. So she quit, eventually after a season or two. And then, so, but I think he realized, oh, he was like, well, I'm going to draft Tamara. And then there happened to be two. So, and he was great. So after Little League, we, you know, other than seeing him around once in a while, we didn't have much contact until I decided, I was a collegiate volleyball when I first started college, and then I had quit that. So I'm also probably very good at quitting things. And I realized, hey, why not go try out for the Silver Bullets? So what do I do? I don't know. I called Dave up and I was like, hey, I want to go try out for this team. He was like, wonderful idea. So he brings out, and I wish I had it, all these old wooden bats. And these things are classic. So like, you know, like the Louisville had the Brandon Hillerich and Bradsby. That's how old these bats were. One, I kid you not, had to be Babe Ruth's old bat. That thing was like massive in barrel size and, I don't know, 36 inches. Another one was a little bit shorter, but heavier. And the story he told, and he had sent me the article, he bought them at an auction, police auction, $5 for the whole lot. And some of them had split. So he had like little Brad nails in them. And I was like, okay, it's a wood bat league. So let's learn how to swing a wood bat, right? And so it's great. I still have those bats, and I had, you know, the team autograph one of them. But yeah, it just he helped me get through that. He would send me letters on the road, and just a great friend. It was sad to see him pass, and they had named the one of our Little League fields after him because he was very involved in the program.
That's great. I'm glad they honored him that way. And it's again, it doesn't so much role model, but being there, you know, for youngsters, being there and actually, you know, all the way to an adult. I still have people I know who were older when I was a much younger person that I still reach out to as a mentor. I mean, and try to get their insight on something. So it's great when you have those people, and it's great if you can be that person too.
And on that, because it's funny, I have to go do a talk at my old middle school. So like someone had done a mural of people that, you know, they felt had great careers, and I was one of them, and they had painted this picture. But I think going back and telling them one of the importance of mentorship, I didn't think of Dave, you know, I didn't have that word then, but that's how it was. Right. And so for you, it's like, was it, did you have friends or did you know like, hey, I'm seeking this person specifically for this. And then this is just,
Yeah, I mean, the language is an important comparative to what actually has been achieved. And like you said, with what you and David had. Wow. Well, let me ask you, I mean, here you are, a parent, three kids, all young. Do you encourage sports?
Yes. So all the toys I have are for me. I have an outdoor cage. I don't have a pitching machine, but the kids see us do. We are very active. So my middle daughter, she's four now. She's been in a couple of like kids races. Mind you, it's like maybe a quarter mile or less. My son's more like me. We're all sprint and no endurance. but he, oddly enough, he doesn't like, we encourage sports and we do all the things. I have rings hanging in my garage and a rope. But he is very self-motivated. If I go to try and teach him anything, he shuts down. And mind you, he's only five, so that's reasonable. And then I will turn around a few weeks later and he has figured it out. So I know the best example that we set right now, we have a piano in our house and we've taken lessons off and on, but the kids take to it. Right. Yeah. So it's like, it's just setting the stage, but not engaging in anything super serious. They do swim lessons and soccer and things just to kind of wear them out. It is pretty cool to see them just with us having that there, what they kind of gravitate to, and then us setting the tone of really just being a very active family.
That's good. And you know, the thing about that is too, my brother was much more involved in sports than I was. And I think socialization wise, it was better for him. He had, you know, he's got friendships today that he had from when he was in grade school. And, you know, to me, there's a richness to that kind of friendship. I have friends, but not like that, the sense that he does, and they could share everything. They could talk about anything. They've got such history, and it's a great support system, even much later in life than they could ever expect. So I think by having the kids in sports, it gives them the opportunity to do that, you know? So it sounds like you guys are on the right road. Well, exhausted talking about after all that. I'll tell you what, but you said wear them out, and that is the truth. That's what we did with our kids. Try to see, find a way to wear them out. We'd like to sleep tonight too. So.
Hopefully, I wish they would all take up marathon running. That would be some great sleeping. But, and it's funny because I have like a motorless treadmill too. So try to make it like, no, you can't use that. And then they'll want to use it anyway. Right. It's like, okay, well, if you're going to do it, then let's get going. So you know, playing all these mind games to get them going. So I do like sprint cycles with them, and they just think it's the funniest thing.
So tell me, what's next? I mean, what are you looking at this year? Are there tournaments you're going to be participating with? Is there some coaching? What's happening for Tamara Holmes for the rest of the year?
So this is a good year. This summer, we've realized it's the 30th anniversary of the Silver Bullets and the 20th anniversary of the women's national team being recognized through USA Baseball. So it's also, the summer is due to COVID and everything else, we hadn't had a World Cup in almost 6 years. So the team is going to Thunder Bay, Canada to try to avenge that gold medal. Like Japan has won the last 10. We've had a lot of very close games and finals, and then just some down years of it not working out. But I think this is the most stacked the U.S. team has ever been. So I will hopefully get an opportunity to participate in the development of the trials, and then they'll go off and win the gold medal in Thunder Bay, and I'll be at home patting my back. So that's the plan, is to just kind of recognize both of these entities, the Silver Bullets, and in some way, and if we can get together and finally have our reunion and also participate in the USA Baseball, it'll be a good summer.
Wow. Wow. I'll say that again. My gosh, Tamara. That sounds like such an exciting year. A lot's going to go into it to make it happen, but I'd like to have you back sometime to talk about those as well, the Silver Bullets and what's going on with the Cup.
Yeah, that'd be great. Catch back up, especially like we talked about how they won the gold medal. And
that's it. Yes.
It's been a long time. So it'll be a great segment.
Is there anything that you'd like to express or share with the audience about yourself or women in baseball?
No, it's been a great journey. I am so fortunate. You talk about those friendships that you forged. I do have those since elementary school friendships through sport and proximity, and also the family that I have through the Silver Bullets and USA Baseball. It is incredible to have that bond. It's incredible to be surrounded by such successful people. I mean, if you look at Veronica Alvarez, she was a former player. Now works for the A's organization and is the leader of this team. Same with Malaika Underwood, recently retired, is going to be one of the national team coaches. Same with Alex Oglesby, played in there was a women's professional league she played in. And, Malaika's a CEO. So it's just like you get all this richness in life, whether it's sport and things outside. And, you know, to know me is to know someone that likes to show what you can do. Like, age doesn't matter. And Amen. A lot of people want to cash you out based on age. And I just keep showing up more so for selfish fun, yes, but also to show like what you can do if you're able to take care of yourself and these opportunities. I'm not always going to have that. I'm not always going to have this body and capability. So I plan to give as much as I can, go as much as I can. And yeah, you may see me, you know, I'm going to start trying to play a little more golf if the kids allow. maybe be less of a five-year-old golf course, but that's it. Just keep grinding. It's a process. It's fun. And like I said, seek mentors, seek people that will give. I give for free. I have no expectations. And I think that's needed, just kind of giving back. And we're kind of working hard to see what we need to do to build women's baseball. People need to see this. Amen. So there's got to be something. Put our heads together. If you look at the WNBA, I even follow like a Skate Like a Girl women's skateboard organization, all these things that people are doing well. I'm over here taking notes and saying, okay, this is what can we do to apply this to women's baseball? So 50 years from now, we're not still talking about, remember that silver bullet team, remember the All American girls, and then we have nothing in between. Yeah. USA Baseball is helpful. Major League Baseball is helpful, but ultimately, where do you go without a league?
I mean, I'm with you 100% on that. I mean, even before the show, we were talking about it. Passion to actually see women's baseball grow, to see the great talent that's out there, to be showcased to everyone else, and to encourage other young women who want to participate, see that that's something they can do. So I'm really happy to hear that's something that's on your plate and it's important to you, because I think that'll become important to a lot of other people as well, Tamara.
Yes, well, Tamara, let them know. Thunder Bay, Canada, World Cup. We have, you know, a tournament in Virginia where mm-hmm. people kind of go in the interim, but Thunder Bay, keep that on your map. Look at the schedule in USA Baseball. I'll definitely be posting it on my social media, but now is the time for women's baseball, and you're not going to be disappointed. We have some amazing players with a great amount of baseball talent.
Well, I'm going to make sure I stay in touch with all that and repost as well, because again, I'm a big fan of all of the things supporting women's baseball. So looking forward to a lot of those events. Thunder Bay should be exciting as all get out. And Tamara, thank you again for joining so much today here on Baseball Biz on Deck. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Mark. Absolute pleasure to see you again.
Yeah, I want to thank Tamara again for being on the show. Man, she is really great to be able to share that kind of insight into women's baseball and her journey. And, you know, a lot's going on with women's baseball, but a lot is not as well. So stand up, folks, and make sure you watch what she's posting on social media. I'll put some things there in the notes, and we can help support the activity and the growth of women's baseball. Thank you all for joining us here today. Look forward to talking with you soon. And just remember, you can always find us here. You can find us Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere. And also, you can find us on www.baseballbizondeck.com. And leave us any notes you might have, any reviews, when we'll look forward to talking with you again real soon. Special thanks to XTakeRUX for the music rocking forward.